Radio.
Hello and welcome to CryptoCurrent, the only podcast to bring you beginner and advanced knowledge of cryptocurrency and blockchain, analyses of cryptocurrency markets, and discussions on growing a business within the crypto space. Stay tuned and stay CryptoCurrent.
Hey, welcome to another episode of CryptoCurrent. This is Richard. I'm here with Adam, and we have another great round of legal advice from our friend James Oliver. He's the crypto lawyer that you heard in an earlier episode. But for today's topic, we're going to be talking about something very important that you probably aren't thinking about, but you're going to need to, and that is crypto tax law. So, James, can you please just give us a little bit of what is today's theme?
Be transparent, be prepared. I think that's the safest way to stay out of trouble when it comes to filing taxes and cryptocurrency. I'll just say this. If they want to find out, they will. The government has far reach in tracking fiat money, and that's what's required at this point. You have to onboard fiat at some point. And they'll track that. So even if you're using privacy coins or you're trying to funnel in through multiple wallets and sources, you will be responsible for telling the government where that fiat went and didn't disappear.
Gotcha. So fiat is definitely going to be a buzzword of the day. So for people who do not know what fiat is, can you please give us a nice little description?
All right. So when we say fiat money, we're talking about currency that has been established as money and often by some type of government regulation. So different from what we used to have where money was backed by a gold standard, this is money that the government says is money and just trust us on it. So common examples would be the US dollar, the euro, every type of currency that you know that we use worldwide now is considered fiat money.
Gotcha. With being transparent, that has to do with, can you go a little bit further on what kind of transparency do we need to have? I mean, as far as, I open up a Coinbase account, I buy some initial coins, and then I want to convert that to, let's say, some of the altcoins, and I use a platform like Binance and all this other kind of stuff. Like, what kind of transparency do I need to have? How are these taxable, how are these potential things that I'm doing taxable?
Okay, so you asked a series of questions there. Okay, so I'm gonna start at the beginning. Your Coinbase account. You open your Coinbase account, you set up your bank account, you load the funds, and you purchase your first Bitcoin, Ethereum, or Litecoin. That right there is a taxable event. That's something that needs to be reported. Coinbase first initially took the stance that they weren't going to tell the IRS, so it was kind of on you as an individual to tell the IRS. And so then the United States sued Coinbase in Eastern District Court in California, and requested a lot of information under the standard know your customer anti-money laundering laws that exist currently. Now, Coinbase took the approach then that, well, cryptocurrency doesn't fall under those laws because you guys won't classify it as a security. You guys won't classify it as a currency. So we don't know what laws to follow. So we're just not going to tell you anything. So like I said, the United States and the IRS sued Coinbase. So in that lawsuit, here's just a little bit of the things that they requested. So they wanted complete user profiles. They wanted know your customer due diligence, documents regarding third-party access, transaction logs, records of payments process, correspondences between Coinbase and Coinbase users, accounts and invoice statements, and records of payments.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Everything.
Right?
Absolutely everything.
Right? So like Coinbase, luckily, taking the stance they did, decided to go ahead and spend some money and fight this. And then eventually they came to the conclusion that they would only turn over the money and information on people who bought, sold, sent, or received more than $20,000 of any of those type of transactions between 2013 and 2015. So that's what this lawsuit was based on. We haven't even dealt with 2016 and 2017 yet,
right?
Which is where all these crazy enormous gains happen, mm-hmm. and people are trying to do something with these funds. So I said that to say they have access to get this information. Coinbase caved.
Right.
You know, and it was a $20,000 request then. We don't know what it's going to be in the future as the regulation and legislation gets written out. If they determine that certain things are securities, then you'll have to file security anti-money laundering and know your customer laws. And it won't be a $20,000 threshold required. It'll be $1.
Right.
Then for our listeners then, just to make this clear, would you say that it is better to be transparent about all things, even if your amount falls under $20,000, or should they try to just maybe stay a little bit on the riskier side and wait and see what that new money amount would be for these past years?
It's been my personal approach, and when I give advice to my clients, to be as transparent as possible. You're responsible for reporting what you do with your income to the IRS and your state department as well. You need to report this stuff. Understand that you're not responsible for paying any capital gains tax until you sell. And we'll talk about some of these taxable events that people didn't realize were taxable. So I wouldn't worry about necessarily, if you're a holler at heart, don't worry about it. Tell them that you have it now. And when you sell, I'd say get with a good accountant or a tax attorney and sit down and figure out the best way to file those capital gains taxes when that comes. But the idea that you won't tell them anything in hopes that maybe things will change later. I mean, I really don't know what the hope is then. Because right. you're not gonna get access to your fiat money if that's the plan. So the only obvious strategy then is that you're planning on holding crypto until crypto takes over and crashes the current fiat system, which is not something I'm able to give legal advice on.
Right, right. So based on what you just described, it's to everyone's advantage to make sure that they are at least reporting like, hey, I put this much money in. I have not cashed it out yet. I have not realized a capital gain. However, I have put this money in. So at some point I will take it out, and just so it's on their radar, because you're saying it'll be worse if you don't report anything. Then all of a sudden you take out this giant chunk of money and now the IRS is like, where did this come from?
Right. And I think my fear here is that on a surface level, you're like, I don't have to report anything because I didn't take it out. And I think most people think take it out means to take it off of Coinbase and back into my Chase account or back into my Capital One account. But as we continue to talk, you'll realize there's so many taxable events that you took it out and you didn't realize you took it out. And you're responsible for paying capital gains on that move.
Right. Well, I like that transition. So let's talk about, I mean, we kind of gave the novice approach for people that are like are buying or have bought cryptocurrency in a very sort of plain and simple way. But let's transition. What does it mean for traders and hedge funds? What types of, because we are trading in and out of many different types of currencies daily, weekly, monthly. You know, it's not just one purchase in November of 2017 and we sort of let that ride out, but it's multiple different transitions a day. So what type of taxable events are in store for people like us?
Every single one, unfortunately, at this point. When we first started to look into the tax situation in the crypto space, you heard a lot of people talking about this rule called like-kind swaps, right? Which means like, okay, well, I have an asset, which I think the most common item this is used for is like art. I have a piece of art that's worth $5 million, and I want to swap it for another piece of art that's worth $5 million. The government decided in that type of exchange between people, there should not be a capital gains tax paid, okay? But on the other side of the spectrum, if you were to swap a male cow for a female cow, the government has decided that is not a like-kind swap. If you were to switch gold for silver, again, not like-kind swap. So this idea that I could switch Bitcoin for Ant shares and consider it a like-kind swap, which does not create a taxable event, is a little bit naive, in my opinion, and very risky approach to take to filing your taxes. So anytime that you purchase one coin and then either swap it for another coin or convert it back to fiat, you create a taxable event that needs to be reported.
Okay, so essentially, for people that day trade and do either daily, weekly, monthly, anytime that you do any kind of conversion, it's a taxable event. So what is a good way? So it's going to be very important that you have your accounting in place so that you can realize all of these different taxable events so that you can kind of equate to what that, as a whole, what that tax would look like. Is that what you're basically saying?
I'm telling you to keep good record keeping.
Well, right. And so as many traders know, most exchanges allow you to print or download a CSV file of your entire trade history. Are you saying that would suffice to just keep that on hand? And
I think that's a retroactively that works. You know, like if you've been trading for a year and now it's time to file taxes, there are websites like bitcoin.tax and cointracking.info that allow you to upload these files that you print from the exchanges, and they'll help you to complete your tax documents. I'd like to be a little bit more proactive in my approach and developing a tax strategy, sitting down with a tax professional and develop a tax strategy before I start to do those trading, so that I can take advantage of first in, first out, first in, last out, or specific designations in how I want to move some of these coins. And there are some systems that you can set in place to make sure that these things are a little bit easier and less aggressive, so to speak. Because remember, like, this is a self-governed system. We file our taxes, we choose different strategies, and then we submit this and hope that it gets accepted, right? So, I mean, some people choose to be conservative, some people choose to be aggressive. I think the specific identification approach is extra aggressive in this space, but still within, you know, a morally legal space where you have a legitimate argument if you were to get audited in explaining what you were trying to do there.
Right. So would you say it is more important to have a good accountant on deck, or to have a good tax lawyer on deck, or what is the best way to make sure that our listeners and even ourselves can be prepared for this next tax season?
To stay on top of taxes.
Yeah.
What is the best strategy to take today? To start taking, to listen to this episode and say, okay, now from now on, this is what I'm going to do, or this is what I'm going to look for if it's a tax attorney, if it's a strategy to start keeping records, what's the advice for to take action today?
I definitely think you should get in touch with either a tax attorney or an accountant. It really depends on your situation, you know? If you have a regular 9-to-5 job and you're just filing taxes, you're paying your taxes throughout the year, you file for a refund at the end of the year, you might just need to contact your accountant and figure out how to handle this new capital gains tax that you're going to have to deal with. If you're an entrepreneur with multiple businesses and you got to worry about commingling funds, and you might need to talk to a tax attorney to kind of strategize and then go talk to your accountant, because you still have an accountant on deck. We know that. You're not doing all of this yourself. So you might need to consult both to make sure that you have a solid tax strategy plan going in that you can relate to your accountant, so that then he can set up the system necessary in order to keep up with that strategy.
Perfect. So one of the, at the beginning of the episode, you know, the buzzwords for making sure that you are transparent and making sure that you are, putting everything, that you are documenting everything. Is there anything else on this topic that we potentially didn't hit on, or that you think that should also be addressed as far as your crypto taxes go?
Absolutely. So, I mean, I feel like you purchased Bitcoin on Coinbase or Gemini or Robinhood is pretty self-explanatory. So I want to talk about some of the things that may not just come straight to the forefront that are also taxable events. So we have staking and mining, which are both kind of like passive income streams that you can use and utilize in the cryptocurrency space. So if you're receiving coins from staking or mining, the day that you receive them becomes the taxable event. So then you also have to deal with token swaps. So there was a time when AntShares was the brand, and then they became NEO. So the day that happened, all your AntShare tokens were converted into NEO tokens. That is not taxable. So I think that's important to know. So your new NEO tokens takes on the same intrinsic value that it had, or actual value that you wrote down when you purchased the AntShare tokens. Okay? Airdrops or hard forks, however, are taxable events. So the day that Bitcoin Cash split from Bitcoin, if you owned Bitcoins, the day you received your Bitcoin Cash, you should have taken a note of its actual value the day you received it, because that was a taxable event.
Well, let me ask you something, James, because it's like as we go deeper and deeper into this, it seems just from an objective standpoint, would you say that this entire system, it's screaming for a more holistic or more seamless integration of all this stuff? Because as we go further and further down these lines of what are taxable events, and many of these things happen several times a day in the crypto sphere, if you are actively trading, if you are handling funds, if you are moving funds. So, I mean, it sounds like we need a system to be put in place that is able to keep track of these things, so it isn't as cumbersome and as tedious for every single person to go, okay, like I traded this and I got this hard fork and just trying to remember all these things. Wouldn't you say that the system is sort of asking for a more seamless integration of all this stuff?
Absolutely. And like everything else in this space, it's developing. So prior to last year, Coinbase did not help you with your taxes at all. And now in 2017, with the gains in the amount of new users that they had, they now have a tax tab on their site, which allows you to pull these documents that you need. Like I said, these websites that are coming up that are going to then take these documents and convert them into tax documents for you appropriately. So they're trying to help. And I think also, once the big boys get involved, like your Robin Hoods and you, when Chase, and you're allowed to use these larger platforms to buy your cryptocurrency, they're going to be in compliance. They're going to know to track this for you, so that, you know, like I've been having a stock account for a while, and every year when it's time to file my taxes, I just wait in the mail till I get that tax form from them. They do all the work for you.
Right.
You know, you don't have to go calculate that stuff.
Right.
So as these people start getting their hands on it, and the onboarding process goes through the big boys that are always going to be in the know your customer compliance and anti-money laundering compliance, then you're going to have the proper tax forms and information you need to file those documents given to you. But right now, there's no legislation to follow, so...
The Wild West.
Right.
Crypto taxes.
Yeah.
That's what we're in.
That's why it's important to be transparent.
Right.
Because these people are not doing they're not doing the work for you. The IRS is going to sit back and let you file what you feel like you need to file. But when the time comes, they have reach and they can go back. They have the ability to audit your tax forms for 3 years. Okay. Yeah. If they feel like you've underreported more than 25% of your assets, they can go back up to 6 years. So, I mean, that's a lot of time to keep your records safe and keep your accounting, to have to worry about getting audited. Like, just be transparent, have a strategy, and that'll take a lot of stress off your back.
Assume that they will find out.
Absolutely. That's their job, right?
Yeah, right.
Follow the money. They want to know where it's at.
So, through following the money and through transparency, having your taxes and everything else ready to go, what is a final thought you want to leave for everyone, or a concluding message that to really drive home to everyone on this topic?
It may seem burdensome, but if you take the time and put in the effort to create a system that works best for your trading style, then you can save yourself a lot of money on taxes. The system is set up first in, first out. Okay, and when we're talking about capital gains tax, you benefit from holding it for more than 1 year. You get taxed at a smaller percentage and a different rate. If you hold it under a year, you get taxed at the highest percentage possible, okay? So first in, first out says the first time you sell a Bitcoin, we're selling the first one you bought. So even if your first one you bought was in 2016 and you're like, I'm holding on to this for life, I just bought a little bit of Bitcoin to buy some Ethereum later, and then now I'm going to cash out that little bit of Bitcoin because I want to buy something. No, you're cashing out your first Bitcoin, and they're going to charge you capital gains tax on that date. So, you know, if you do a specific identification and set up a system when you have different software or paper or hardware wallets to store these Bitcoins, you can say, I purchased this Bitcoin on this date. I'll let you know when I sell it. And that the Bitcoin that I'm selling over here was something I bought on Coinbase yesterday. I'm holding on to that because right. I want to be taxed at long-term capital gains on this Bitcoin. But like I said, that requires a system and a strategy that you put in place before you start making your trades.
Stay diligent now. Do the work now. Save yourself the headache later.
So that when this thing explodes, you're not stressed out about, you know, you can just cash out and enjoy.
Right. So I'm sure there's going to be quite a few listeners that are going to listen to this and might have some additional questions or might even seek your own counsel, what is a great way for them to be able to get some more information from you?
I mean, you can reach out to me at my website, www.jolawoffices.com. Again, follow me on Instagram at Attorney Oliver. I'm in love with this space right now. I try to inform people as much as I can, just because I feel like this is a very communal environment. And there's so much confusion out there. As an attorney, I'm able to kind of sift through some of the foolishness for people. So I try to do that and just share what I know from an individual level. If you want to meet with me on a client-attorney relationship level, I'm willing to do that too. We'll sit down, we'll talk, we'll kind of create a strategy for you, get you in touch with an accountant that can set you up.
Great. Well, James, I speak for myself and I think Richard as well. Thank you so much for coming on today. I think there's a lot of great information here. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, guys.
No problem. And we'll have you again in the future.
Absolutely. It's been fun.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening to another episode of CryptoCurrent. For more information on this episode and all of our episodes, please visit us at www.crypto-current.co. Stay up to date with the latest news in cryptocurrency by signing up for our newsletter. You will receive a daily email Monday through Sunday that is personalized and curated content specific to you and your interest, powered by artificial intelligence. Get your tickets today. We are throwing the first cryptocurrency and blockchain conference in New Orleans in March 2019. You can get your tickets today at www.crypto-current.co.
This has been another episode of Crypto Current, bringing you one step closer to becoming a crypto and blockchain aficionado. We look forward to giving you the latest in crypto news and analyses next week. Stay Crypto Current.
Please use available exits now.